This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:38 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. And we're going to start our next story, which is about measures to combat bankruptcy. So the government tabled an amendment today to the Insolvency Act to raise the minimum debt threshold to 100,000 ringgit from the current 50,000 ringgit. And the government believes that this is necessary to allow individuals and businesses some breathing space in light of the COVID-19 pandemic. In the long term, of course, raising the threshold is also meant to tackle rising cases of bankruptcy. Last week, Sibuti MP Lukan Isman Awang Sauni pointed out that the number of bankruptcies among Malaysians under the age of 35 has been worrying. In the last 5 years alone, nearly 22,000 bankruptcies were reported in that age group, which is high. So, in line with that, then, we wanted to understand how raising the threshold will affect cash-strapped Malaysians and also what measures could be taken to address the issue, the underlying issues surrounding bankruptcy in the first place. So we're going to be doing that after this with Lynnette Lee, who's the CEO of the Financial Planning Association of Malaysia, or FPAM. If you'd like to ask any questions on this, again, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Business, finance and music. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:45. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, and we're talking now about the government tabling an amendment to the Insolvency Act, raising the minimum debt threshold to 100,000 ringgit from 50,000 ringgit in a measure to combat bankruptcy. And if you have any questions on this, do let us know, because you can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Now on the line with us is Lynnette Lee, CEO of the Financial Planning Association of Malaysia. Lynnette, always good to have you with us.
Hi, Lynn, and thank you for the opportunity to talk about something that's very close to my heart. I think that's important.
So, okay, to start off with then, maybe you could tell us then, what do you think of this proposal?
Well, there are two sides to a coin in most things, and the same goes with this bill as well. I have two pros to bring up and two cons. The first pro I'm talking about is good, because it keeps up with the current cost of goods due to inflation. Things are going more expensive. So therefore, the original amount may be a little too small. Therefore, it's good to have a decent amount for someone to be able to catch their breath and be able to pay off their debt. And the second pro is that if I am somebody who has maybe about 80,000 debt, and I know that in 2 months' time, I will be able to get some money to pay it back. So I have that buffer of another 20,000. It will give me time, buy me time to get the money and then pay off the loan. So this is a welcome respite for people who fall under that category. So these are the pros of having the increase in the threshold. However, the two cons are that the first one, hardcore borrowers who take advantage of this may use this to get more money, and at the end of it, they might try to hide behind the bankruptcy for protection. Because for bankruptcy, after a certain number of years, and you can be discharged. And we'll talk about it a bit later on. And for people, the second con is that people may be tempted to incur more than they can pay. And when the time comes, they will then be declared as a bankrupt. And that's not good. We do not want more Malaysians to be declared a bankrupt.
So I don't think everybody is that familiar or intimately aware, I think, of what happens with bankruptcy or understanding debt threshold and so on. So maybe you could talk to us about the relationship between debt threshold and bankruptcy, just to start us off.
Very good. So the current threshold is 50,000. So if someone were to borrow and they are not able to pay, so can I use a credit card as an example? Why I like to use credit card is because a lot of people are not aware that when you only pay a minimum amount, and when the money that you owe is more, you actually are charged interest on the principal amount as well as the amount that you the interest that you owe from the previous month. So very quickly, this can escalate up to about 100K. Now, when it gets to 100K, what will happen is, if you cannot pay off, the bank can then take out a bankruptcy action against you, declare that you are a bankrupt. And that is a phase that a lot of people don't want to go, because having debt is like being in ICU. But bankruptcy, well, it's not the end of the world, but it restricts you in a lot of ways financially.
What happens then when someone is declared bankrupt?
Well, from the Department of Insolvency, Malaysian Department of Insolvency, what happens is the DGI or the Director General of Insolvency, you will be assigned to someone, to a Director of General of Insolvency, or more commonly they're called OA, Official Assignee. Then a person's asset will be put, all of the assets will be put under the administration of the DG or DGI. What will happen is then the DGI will administer all of the individual's assets and manage it to repay the outstanding debt. So the other thing that will happen is when you become a bankrupt, chances are you cannot travel. If you want to travel, you must have compelling reasons for which you will have to write in and get a permission to be able to travel. The other thing is you cannot take any loan of any matter. No one will touch you. No bank will touch you with a 10-foot pole. And along is not a good way to go. I think last night there was a talk about this on BFM Live, the webinar. It shouldn't even be a last resort, to be honest. So you can't take loan, you can't borrow. All right. The last but not least, whatever income that you earn, it doesn't come to you. It has to go to your OA first, and then they will give you your allowance for your monthly expenses. So in a way, you have a restriction, but it's also not bad, because we hear people, and this one is from Befrienders, they've shared with me before, that if you, a lot of people call up, because when a person is in financial difficulty and they're being chased by the debtors, by the debt collectors, the frame of mind changes. They get very emotional and they get very upset. And sometimes they can't figure it out how to work this out. The first thing that comes to mind is to think of committing suicide. So we also don't want that to happen. So in a way, bankruptcy is to tell you that all is not the end of the world. You can come in, you can fall back on bankruptcy. However, when you come in bankruptcy, there are things that you know you have restrictions.
So what impact then, coming back to the threshold itself, what impact would raising it have on individuals and households as well as businesses?
Okay. We talk about businesses first. Business first may find that people are willing to take up more loans when they cannot pay, they will declare bankrupt. It's a negative effect on businesses because they can't get back their money. And we all know that 100K, if you were to buy a nicer car, a better car, you can easily hit 100K already. So on that note, for businesses, you have to wait a bit longer to collect the money, and the amount that will be owing to you will be larger than what you have now. So that is a negative effect on it. And on that note, on an individual basis, it will also impact someone who is not able to manage their finances well. So on this, and if that's in that being the case, it's not a good thing, because we don't want people to take advantage of this bankruptcy act and hide behind it for protection, get away from not paying money that they owe too much.
Well, that's exactly what we are getting from a listener, Mizi, who says raising the threshold serves to increase the debt quantum. Should we should be addressing prevention of getting oneself into financial difficulties? Postponing the fact that one is becoming insolvent is encouraging us to live in a fool's paradise. How would you respond?
Okay. I agree with her. I do not have the details of the bills that's being passed, but I think that if we want to do that, we really need to look at the terms and conditions for discharge before the bill can be passed to ensure that it is not abused. Currently, if I remember correctly, after 3 years, if you can prove that you've been paying back and you have been consistent, but because of circumstances, you're unable to pay back, the Department of Insolvency can consider you on a case-to-case basis and decide whether they want to discharge you or not. So perhaps we can make it a little bit more stringent there so that people will think twice before they quickly run into bankruptcy as a reason to get away from that.
So I do want to follow up on that in terms of preventing bankruptcies. But before that, though, we do know that this isn't the first time the threshold has been increased. In 2017, it went from 30,000 ringgit to 50,000 ringgit. And would you know whether this measure did actually help to address bankruptcies in that period?
I have a confession. When it was at the 30K level, I was working then, not so financially savvy. I almost hit that threshold. It was very worrying. So, at that time, inflation has gone up and prices of things have gone up a lot more. So it was really, really scary for me. Of course, fortunately for me, I had some advice from good friends who actually told me that you should actually go to the bank and negotiate. So that's what I did. So yes, I am all for inflation adjusted increase in the threshold. But we have just recently increased to 50,000, and now this is a 100,000, which is a 100% increase. Perhaps if we do want to increase, but I think we should go in tandem with inflation rate rather than to, you know, and circumstances before you actually propose almost 100% increase in threshold.
And in closing then, we've been talking quite a lot about the worry that if you already have issues with money, then bankruptcy, insolvency, it may not necessarily help in any way. And we also know that recent data does show a large number of bankruptcies among Malaysians under the age of 35. What kind of measures do you think we need to take in order to prevent these situations from occurring in the first place?
And we're talking about behavioural finance.
Yes.
And that is something which has, I'm glad to say that the regulators have been actually looking into it. Just had a conversation with Bank Negara and Securities Commission, and FM is actually working with them on how we can actually improve on this. So the short answer to that question will be financial education as well as counselling people who are in that position. In 2019, FM did a consumer survey on awareness of financial planning conducted by FM and also funded by the Capital Market Development Fund. And it shows that managing debt is the first concern of most public and how to avoid it. And I think that's a good sign because this survey was done, a similar survey was done in 2015, and we compare with the 2019 results. And what we found is that there is actually the move, the needle has moved because through the years, there has been a lot of financial education, both from the private as well as the public sector, to increase people's savviness and also to help them to avoid being in debt. So on that note, I think, yes, it has shown good progress, but there is still a lot of work to be done. So,
Lynette, sorry, we don't have a lot of time left, and I did just want to ask you one question, which is, at what point does someone need to go for that kind of intervention or counselling? So if I'm someone listening now and I do have a certain amount of debt, you know, when do I need to know, okay, I really need to address this right now?
All right. If you have difficulty 1 month, okay, never mind. Maybe you can manage. But if you find that, if you look at your own personal finances and you are aware that you are not going to be able to pay that within the next 3 months, then I think it's about time to seek help. We have help, actually, Lynn. Because FM is celebrating its 20th anniversary this year, the theme is FM Financial Literacy Year. Within this theme, we are rolling out a one-to-one online complimentary financial counselling program supported by Bank Negara as well as SC. We want to encourage audience to register for it. I will send you the link later on so that you can post it. This should be able to help those people who are in financial difficulty, especially those who are going post-moratorium is ending, and if they need help, they can come. We have licensed financial planners to help them.
Wonderful. Lynette, thank you so much for speaking with us.
You're welcome.
That was Lynette Lee, CEO of FPAM, the Financial Planning Association of Malaysia, talking to us about bankruptcy. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.